Chapter 26. Exhaustion was already seeking to claim Cat, though she refused to consider stopping for even a brief rest. The distance between the mountain and Shinzan's palace was huge, and it would take them several hours to get there as it was. It would also require virtually all of their combined strengths. Occasionally she looked to see if Linial was able to go on, but his stone-faced determination never faltered. Even as they slowed and began to descend, she could still feel him urging her on, lending her his own power. Cat's heart sank as they touched down just where the outskirts of Noel should have been. All that remained of the city were piles of featureless rubble and the bodies of the dead, thousands of them, every single one reduced to naught but a grotesquely charred husk. Such had been the power and intensity of the heat that some were still actually smouldering several hours after the event. Fighting the urge to weep, Cat pushed on with only one thought driving her. Ethan had to be here somewhere. And if he was alive, maybe, just maybe. The thought was ludicrous, and in her heart she knew this. Nothing could have survived such devastation. It reminded her of the films she had seen on Earth about the bomb dropped on Hiroshima. Even so, it didn't weaken her resolve. She would only accept that he was dead when she had laid eyes on his body for herself. They started toward the rise where Shinzan's palace had once stood. Linial stumbled, the drain of the traveling spell finally showing. Cat wrapped an arm around his waist to steady him. Though she was equally spent, she would not give in. Nothing that remained of the palace gave even a hint of its former imposing majesty. Literally everything had been reduced to great piles of blackened sand and glass. Here, not even charred bodies remained. They searched for a time without seeing anything that might indicate where Ethan had been when he had destroyed Shinzan. "Is it possible the battle was fought elsewhere?" offered Linial. "No," Cat replied, a slight tremor in her voice. "They fought here. I can feel it." She knew exactly what Linial was thinking, that Ethan was likely burned to dust, or at best buried deep beneath the sands. An irrational urge to lash out at him for such defeatist thoughts struck her. Only with the greatest difficulty did she hold her tongue and continue with the search. After another hour without success, she was on the brink of madness. With Linial now engrossed in searching another part of the rubble, some distance away, she finally gave vent to her emotions. Tears flowed freely, though her sobs were largely stifled by curses and shouts of frustration. "What is the matter, child?" Cat gasped and spun around. Standing a few feet away, she saw a woman wearing a flowing white dress, bound at the waist with a silver sash, and shifting lazily in the wind. Her hair shimmered in the sun like spun gold, and her smile was warm and motherly. Cat knew instinctively that this was the spirit of Lumnia. Her anger fell away, leaving behind only overpowering sorrow. She fell to her knees. "Ethan," she sobbed, "please, do you know where he is?" "Of course I do." She reached out and offered Cat her hand. Without question, Cat allowed herself to be led away. Linial came running up just as they reached the outer edge of where the palace wall had once stood. "Who is this woman?" he demanded. Lumnia's laugh was like crystal chimes. "If you listen to yourself, you will know who I am, Linial Dragonvane." "That is not an answer." Cat gave him a warning look, but Lumnia shook her head, her smile never dimming. "It is quite all right, Catiana. He speaks only out of concern for you. Most humans have trouble allowing themselves to feel this world. Despite the fact they can use its power, they still somehow imagine themselves to be separate from it. So much like the dwarves you are. Yet with the potential not even the elves could achieve."
"Then you are Lumnia?" he asked in a hushed tone.
"In a way, yes," she affirmed. "I am a part of Lumnia's spirit, the part you can see and feel all around you. I am the embodiment of her power. She knows where Ethan is, said Cat.
Without thinking, Linial grabbed the spirit's arm.
He lives?
He quickly released his hold.
Forgive me. It's just that we feared he was dead. He lives for now. He is strong. In fact, much stronger than even I understood.
Lumnia's eyes turned to Cat.
It is you who gives him this strength. Even so, he cannot hold on much longer. The power he was given was intended to kill Shinzan through his physical body. But Ethan destroyed him by touching his source of power. That allowed a small portion of my essence to remain, enough to protect him, though only for a short time.
What are you saying?
Demanded Cat, her voice becoming desperate once again.
Is he going to die? I am saying that the power is consuming him, and he cannot release it.
Lumnia pointed east. Lying on the sands was a body wrapped in a grey cloak.
Go to him, she said, but do not touch him, or you will both die. Then his sacrifice will have been for nothing.
Cat burst into a run. Linial made to follow her, but Lumnia caught his arm.
Let them have their time, she said.
But she might touch him. Lumnia smiled.
Things will unfold as they must. You cannot interfere.
If I cannot, surely you can. Lumnia's form began to shimmer with a divine light.
I have played my part in this. The rest is for you and your kind.
Her eyes met his.
You have been given a great gift, Dragonvane, one that must never be squandered. Use it wisely.
What gift?
Time.
Her body began fading into a ghostly spectre. Linial called for her to wait, but no reply came forth. He called again. It was no use. She was gone. Cat dropped to the ground mere inches from Ethan's body. Though his eyes were shut, she could see that he was still breathing.
Ethan, she said, trying hard not to sob. Ethan, I'm here. I made it.
His eyes fluttered open.
Cat.
His voice was barely audible.
Yes, it's me. I'm with you. What can I do? Please, there must be something.
She ached so desperately to hold him that her stomach knotted and her heart thudded painfully.
Live, he replied. Live long, my love.
His eyelids slowly dropped and his breathing slowed.
Ethan, no. Stay with me. You can't die. You have to fight. Please. You can do it. Just stay with me.
The urge to ignore Lumnia's warning was almost too much to bear. Her fingers clawed deeply into the sand in an effort to stop herself crossing that tiny extra distance between them.
God damn it! You can't die on me! Not after all this! Fight!
His breathing was now coming in short gasps. Cat could only watch helplessly, with tears running down her face, as Ethan's life slowly faded. A roar from high above broke through her despair. Looking up, she saw Maitre circling directly overhead. With a stream of flames billowing from her maw, she began a spiraling descent, landing a few yards away, her great weight stirring up the sands. A flicker of hope rose in Cat as she looked at the dragon.
Can you help him?
She asked. Maitre snorted a blast of hot air, then let out a tremendous roar. There was something different about her, Cat realized. She wiped her tears. It was her scales. It was as if they had been dusted with millions of tiny diamonds that glittered brilliantly in the light of the day. Maitre approached with powerful strides until she was standing above them. She looked at Cat, urging her to back away. Cat moved back a few feet.
Can you help him?
Maitre lowered her huge head until it was mere inches away from Ethan's face. In response, he stirred, and his eyes peeked open. Cat could see him mouthing words to the dragon, but there was no sound. Then, with an enormous effort, he lifted his left hand and placed it limply on her snout. The effect was far from instant. First, just a great ripple ran down the entire length of the dragon's body. After nearly a minute, she spread her wings fully and lifted her head to crane her neck. Cat gasped in awe as tiny flakes of glowing embers then rose up from the dragon's flesh to drift on the gentle east wind. Soon it was as if a great mass of fireflies was gathered in a stream of undulating beauty. By now, Maitre had become translucent. She looked down at Cat and let out a low, rumbling growl. Even without language, Cat understood exactly what she was saying. It was goodbye. Maitre had taken Lumnia's power upon herself. She had given her life so that Ethan might live. Cat's tears renewed.
Thank you,
she whispered. Maitre leapt skyward, the beating of her immense wings whipping the millions of floating lights into a swirling tempest. When several hundred feet high, she hovered for a moment, released her final flame-filled breath, and then simply disintegrated in a majestic burst of radiance. A combination of immense sorrow and the deepest gratitude washed over Cat as she watched the final glimmer of Maitre's light fade from the sky. It was almost impossible to believe that she was no more. The final dragon. The last of her kind. Movement from Ethan snapped her back into the moment, and she was instantly at his side. His eyes were open, and he was trying to speak. It was only then that she noticed the terrible burns covering his body. She placed her hands over his chest. It's going to be all right. It's over now. While healing him, she could feel his heart opening up to her. There was nothing she was not permitted to know. No emotion that she could not experience with him. The vast wealth of memories and knowledge from generations of his family suddenly became like an enormous book in her mind that she could page through at will. Gentle fingers touched her face as she paused for a moment. Ethan was sitting up, smiling at her. Most of his wounds were now healed, and the light in his eyes shone brightly with his love.
That's enough, he said. I feel much better now.
Cat threw her arms around him, her tears now those of absolute unremitting joy.
I knew you'd come back to me.
The two sat on the sands in one another's arms, neither willing to let the other go.
I feel like I've just woken up from a terrible dream, Ethan told her.
Cat cupped his face in her hands.
Well, now we can begin making new dreams. Wonderful ones.
They kissed, gently at first, and then with more urgency. For a spell, time had no meaning.
Excuse me,
a voice said. They reluctantly parted lips and looked up. Liniel was standing there with his arms folded and a smirk on his face.
I know that you are both happy right now, he said, but we are sitting in the middle of a desert.
Ethan laughed and with a grunt rose to his feet. Before Liniel could object, he embraced his cousin firmly.
Thank you, he said. I'll never forget what you've done for me.
Me? I've done nothing, Liniel responded. You're the one who saved this world, and all those who live upon her.
Ethan did not pursue the issue further. Instead, he stepped back a few paces and gave a sweeping wave of his arm. In response, the sands bubbled up to form a small stone shelter, inside which were three comfortable chairs and a table. Liniel nodded approvingly.
Impressive. I was never very good at transmutation myself. But shouldn't we be going?
You need to rest, Ethan told him. You have a long way to travel.
You won't be coming with me?
Not yet.
Ethan conjured a set of simple pants and a shirt, along with a pair of soft boots. Once he was fully dressed, the three of them sat around the table. He could tell that making the clothing had impressed his cousin. It was simple magic, really. Martok had often given away such items as gifts, and considering he'd had naught but a cloak to cover himself, he was doubly grateful that this particular skill had been passed on. Kat retrieved a small flask from her belt. "It's not wine, but it will do." "Where will you go?" asked Linial, after everyone had taken a drink. "Back to the Dragon Wastes," Ethan told him. "I still have something I need to do." Linial cocked his head. "Shinzan is dead. What else is there for you? Surely you can spare the time to enjoy your victory, at least for a short while." "Not yet." He went on to tell of the clutch of dragon eggs hidden away. "I have to see that they are safe and allowed to hatch," he explained. Lineal's face lit up. "You mean the dragons will return?" "Yes. But the eggs will need my care if they are to survive." Lineal leaned across the table excitedly. "You must let me come with you."
"You can't," said Ethan.
"Not now." "But I am a Dragonvane. It is my duty as well."
"I know, and I promise that you will be a part of it. But right now there are other things you need to do. When I was passing through Lumnia's heart, I was shown what could be, events that must never be allowed to happen. I need for you to make sure that they don't." Ethan then related everything that Shinzan had shown him. When he was done, the sun was near the horizon. Lineal steepled his hands under his chin. "You are right. These things must never happen. Though, to be honest, I'm not sure how I can prevent them."
"I don't know that you can," Ethan admitted. "It will be hard to persuade people to stop fighting. Three kingdoms chose to fight on the side of Shinzan, and many of our allies will be wanting revenge."
"Then would it not be better if you were there? You are the greatest hero this world has ever known. You could bring them together. They would not deny you."
"No. One of the few things I'm sure of is that I can't be directly involved. The people of Lumnia mustn't feel forced into peace. They'll have to want it. And I think they do. But if I use my influence, some will think I'm just trying to become the next emperor."
He smiled over at Kat. "That's the last thing this world needs."
"They may not let you," Lineal pointed out. "Your name will be on the lips of everyone on Lumnia. Elves, dwarves, and humans will all seek you out, begging you to take a role in creating a new world. How will you ignore them?"
"I hate to disappoint everyone, but it's not my name they should be remembering. I didn't kill Shinzan."
Lineal furrowed his brow. "What are you saying? Of course you did."
"No. I fought Shinzan, and I lost. It was Marcus, and a man named Vralik who really beat him. Not me."
"Marcus?" gasped Kat. "He was here."
"Yes. Without him, I wouldn't be alive."
Ethan recounted details of the battle, and of Shinzan's ultimate fall at the hands of a lowly servant.
"You see, I'm not the hero after all," he concluded.
Lineal was stunned.
"That's truly remarkable. After all the centuries of domination, the mighty emperor is cast down by a man with no power whatsoever."
"I wouldn't say that," Ethan retorted. "Not all power comes from magic."
"So it would seem."
He shook his head, chuckling.
"Simply remarkable, all the same."
"Well, I don't care what happened," said Kat. "You're still a hero to me."
"Quite right," Lineal agreed. "And regardless of how it really came about, you will always be heralded as the man who vanquished Shinzan. So your dilemma remains. I agree that you should stay distant. Your visions while passing through Lumnia's heart are more than enough to convince me of that. Nonetheless, I think you are going to find it much harder than you think."
"I have an idea," Ethan told him. but I'm going to need your help.
Lineal looked at him, expecting an explanation.
Not now. After Cat and I have taken care of the eggs.
Cat yawned.
I need to take care of a blanket and pillow before I go anywhere, she said, leaning her head against Ethan's shoulder.
Lineal smiled.
Yes, after all, it has been quite an eventful day.
The sheer understatement of his remark brought the trio to uncontrollable laughter. Ethan transmuted the sands to provide each of them with a blanket and a pillow, then disintegrated the shelter. Lying with Cat under the stars, he thought about what Lineal had said. His cousin was right. People would hound him endlessly during the tumultuous times ahead. It was vital that he find a way to stay clear of the politics. Though the struggle for freedom was over, the struggle for peace had only just begun. Cat threw an arm over his chest.
Stop worrying. Whatever happens, happens. All I care about is that you're alive.
He pulled her closer.
You're right. It's just that I keep seeing those visions in my head. And you'll make sure that they never happen. But what if I can't stop them? I think you already have.
The warmth of Cat's body against him as she nuzzled in sent a wave of contentment over him.
Yes, like she said, whatever happens, happens.
Not even Lumnia could predict the future with total confidence. For the moment, everything was just as he had dreamed it would be. And for now, that was enough.